Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, you are tuned in to Rosie on the House. And today was just a day destined for Route 66.
Yes, sir. On beautiful days like this, you want to put the top down and hit the mother road, Route 66 through Arizona.
And we've got a special guest joining us on the line that'll be talking about some restoration work they're doing on Route 66. But it's not just Rosie on the House today. Did you see in the Arizona Republic, the Explore Arizona, the Wigwam Hotel on Route 66, talking about interesting places to stay, six unique lodging locations. Five out of the six are on Route 66.
Uh-huh.
The only one that wasn't was out of Bisbee, the OK Street Jail Inn. Have you ever?
No, I've never heard of that.
Treat yourself to a night in the sane asylum.
Yeah, that'll brighten your day on a road trip on Route 66. Wow. Good timing, though.
It's incredible timing. And online we have from Holbrook this morning, Roman Rich, who is an interesting story in and of itself. Grew up in a place in Missouri where you have Lewis and Clark Expedition. You've got Daniel Boone. You've got the Oregon Trail, the start of all these incredible adventure stories in American history. Growing up in an area like that, it very easily to see how you become Roman Rich. You just grew up in an area filled with this wanderlust of American adventure. And he's took time out of his day to join us to talk about Route 66. Roman Rich.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Calling in from where this morning?
I'm in Holbrook, Arizona.
And we'll get to why you're there and what you're doing a little later in the program. But as we started putting this interview together, you know, we need to back up and tell the story about Route 66. There was a lot just in our general conversation I didn't even realize about the history and the development, and that it wasn't really ever built. It was designated. And at the time it was designated, a lot of it was still unpaved. You still had trails. So just take us through, you know, we're 8 years away from the 100th anniversary of Route 66. Take us through the first 92 years.
Well, back in 1926, there was a need to number highways. We had all these different pathways that were sponsored by corporations such as Firestone and B.F. Goodrich, and you had the National Trails Association that was also marking out pathways and roads and highways. But the federal government stepped in and said, wow, there's a big increase in the amount of automobile traffic these days. We need to organize this. And that's when they came up with a number system, odd numbers being north, south, and even numbers being east, west. And Route 66 originally was supposed to be designated Route 60. But then I think the governor in Virginia threw a big fit over that because your more prominent numbers were, you know, even like 60 would be a more prominent number over, say, 64. And he threw a big fit over it because Route 60 from Chicago to Los Angeles was not a true transcontinental highway. And so Cyrus Avery and John Woodruff came up with the idea of calling it Route 66 because it just had a really nice ring to it. From that point on, it was known as Route 66, and the roads and highways that were designated were mere Indian paths, tribal paths, military roads, wire roads, which is referring to roads that parallel telegraph lines. All these pre-existing roads, farm-to-market roads, they were already there in place, and some of them had already been improved to some extent, but the majority were still dirt and gravel. In fact, all of Route 66 took about 12 years for the entire route to be paved. And in that 12 years, there was a lot of realigning and redesignating of different pathways and stuff like that. Illinois was the first one to have their complete road paved, and I believe that happened in early 1928. Missouri followed suit, as did Kansas, and then the rest kind of followed in line.
Well, Kansas is cheating. They only have 13 miles of the route. I mean, they should have been done first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have a great 13 miles. You know, some people try to skip that, but you could spend an entire day or two in Kansas easily.
On that 13-mile stretch?
Yeah, there's plenty to see and do.
Well, talk through some of the myths about Route 66 that we want to establish before we get to, you know, what you're doing in Holbrook today.
Well, some of the myths would be, you know, Route 66 was just one road. A lot of people that are new to exploring Route 66 or thinking about touring Route 66 get confused very easily because they think it was just one road. Well, just as our highways improve and get changed and widened, some cases totally realigned and just moved, the same was true for Route 66 because you have to think about it. All these people were driving this highway. It was very small. It was very congested. And a lot of times people found it to be a safety hazard to have this highway running down through the middle of their main street of downtown. So very quickly they started changing the road. And some of the pathways were treacherous. For instance, La Bajada in New Mexico, that was actually a path or a trail that had been used since the conquistadors were roaming around the North American landscape. And that's the one that you see typically with all the switchbacks that are going down the hill, this cliffside, so to speak. But those safety hazards and areas of congestion, they were eliminated first and gone around. So that's the biggest myth right there. And there's a lot of other myths too, particular to Arizona. You hear some rumors that Arizona has the only 90-degree turn on Route 66. That's not true. There's plenty in Illinois and Missouri and especially Oklahoma too. And then another one I like to hear is Arizona has the most drivable or, I guess, uninterrupted drive of Route 66. That could be true for certain segments, especially if you're going from Seligman up to Oatman. But as far as the total route goes, Arizona's fairly chopped up. You have to rely on the Interstate 40 quite a bit to get through Route 66. However, in Illinois, you can pretty well drive the entire route, almost, I'd say, 90% of it without having to rely on the interstate.
Mm-hmm. And now, as far as, didn't you say in Illinois they have a brick section that is still active and you can drive on it?
Yeah, Auburn, Illinois has a pristinely preserved section of Route 66 that was paved in brick pavers. And I believe it's around 5 or 6 miles long, and it's in beautiful shape. The state and the county maintain it as it was back in the 30s. However, there were a lot more states and cities and counties that also adopted that method of paving with brick pavers. Oklahoma City had a lot of brick pavers for their sections of Route 66. In fact, about 6 months ago, they were doing some road work down in Oklahoma City, and they unearthed a section of pavers that was Route 66, and they were giving those away as souvenirs to people.
Through Arizona, we've got four main towns that still have a Route 66, all still having some sort of wanderlust to Route 66. If you've ever been to Williams, Flagstaff, Seligman, Winslow, all of them have downtown still centered on Route 66.
Oatman, too. Let's throw them in there. Oatman.
You get your mule-proof shoes on, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Take us through these attractions that are still in the state that we can go enjoy and kind of step back in time and, you know, have a old-fashioned cheeseburger and milkshake.
Well, Flagstaff is one of my favorite towns. I've often told people if I could move anywhere, Flagstaff would be it because they have trees And that's something I really love, being from Missouri, is trees. But they've got a lot of great things that are popping up. As far as nostalgia goes, I think Williams is probably a big one. They've got a lot of nostalgic little food shops and cafes and motels. Seligman, however, is also extremely nostalgic. You got the Snow Cap, you got Angel Delgadillo's Barber Shop, which is credited to being, you know, Angel was the godfather or grandfather of Route 66. He's the one that spearheaded the renaissance of Route 66 back in the 80s when they were bypassed. Oatman, of course, you've got the mules, you got the old mining town. It's very, very heavily centered around tourism. In fact, the place wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for the mules and the rest of the tourism. They had the gunslinger battles out in the middle of the street and all that cool stuff.
And Winslow, if you've never heard of Oatman,
of course, you have the trademark standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Oh, yeah. With a statue of, I believe, is Jackson Brown possibly standing there in the corner, and you had the flatbed Ford sitting over on the side with the girl painted on the mural.
And Rich,
a lot of great stuff. And then one thing more about Winslow is you have La Posada, which is a great old example of a Harvey house.
And Rich, there's also a statue of Glenn Frey, who co-wrote the song, on the other side of that corner too. I don't know if you've been down there.
That's
recently.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a new addition as of, I think, what, 2 years ago?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, slowing down a little bit, if you've not traveled Arizona, we've jumped from one side of the state to the next on what's today Interstate 40. But let's start left to right real quick. Let's go east to west. So we'll stop. You had mentioned Winslow. We know that one. It's what is that, about 70 minutes from Flagstaff on 40?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's about right.
So you've got standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona on Route 66. When you go through Flagstaff, it's the downtown Hotel Monte Vista, which is one of the featured places on where to stay in today's Explore Arizona edition of the Arizona Republic. And that Hotel Monte Vista, it's actually the scene of Casablanca. Some scenes were shot at that hotel. If you like old movies, you get to go see where that scene was shot. You've mentioned Williams. You mentioned Seligman. We're just continuing east to west. Williams is about, I should know this. Ashford to Williams. You're at about 45 minutes now west of Flagstaff and Williams. Seligman and Oatman are the two that I wanted to make sure we hit, because most people can immediately place every place we've talked to: Winslow, Flagstaff, Williams. But Seligman and Oatman, how do we get first to Seligman?
Well, Seligman is just west of Williams, probably about another hour or so. You're also passed through Ash Fork, which is another big, used to be a really big town on Route 66, so big that it had one-way traffic through its town. It had its own individual eastbound and westbound lanes.
And it still does. If you go through the town of Ash Fork, split with a little, there is Main Street still gets split right in the middle.
That's the truth, yes. That's a fact. So, yeah, Seligman is just a jump, skip, and a leap away from Ash Fork. It's just off of Interstate 40, kind of sits there just to the north of Interstate 40. But from there, now you hit probably the longest stretches of uninterrupted Route 66.
And you know what? We'll have to Gary just pointed out we're 2 minutes over our break, so we'll finish that Oatman and then round it back what we're doing today on Route 66 with Roman Rich.